الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. We beg Allah to accept from us our efforts, because when we serve Allah, it is only from the tawfiq of Allah. Ye qadam utha nahi uthaya jata hai. When one serves Allah's deen, when one strives for Allah's sake, when one goes anywhere for the pleasure of Allah, where can these feet move? The feet do not move on their own, but they are taken by Allah. We thank Allah for this opportunity, this ni'mat and blessing, who has enabled us, who allows us to take the names of the glorious Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum, the great Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum, whom we are indebted to. Their tears, their blood, their crying, their striving, their sacrifices, their movements, their traveling to the four corners of the world, them sacrificing their families and their children, the Sahabiyat sacrificing, the young Sahaba sacrificing. We are indebted to them. We are indebted to them. The Sahabi who we learn about is also named Uthman, but not the famous Uthman ibn Affan, radiyallahu anhu, who's the third greatest Sahabi. This is another Uthman. And this Uthman is also from Makkah Mukarramah. He is none other than Uthman ibn Maz'un. Uthman ibn Maz'un, radiyallahu anhu. To take you a little further, from the Sahaba who were buried in Baqi'a. Sahaba buried in Baqi'a. Allahu Akbar. Going near Baqi'a. Going to Mu'alla. We don't find many, many Sahaba. And going through these regions, the thought crosses the mind that where the Sahaba went to? Where did Sahaba radiyallahu anhum go? Why did they leave their homes? Majority of the Sahaba are in the four corners of the world. Why? For you and for me, my respected listeners, my respected mothers, my respected fathers, radiyallahu anhum. But the first Sahabi to be buried in Baqi' is none other than this giant, this hero. Speak about heroes, speak about super people. Speak about super people. These are the ones who we're hearing and learning about. You and I learning about. What a family he comes from. What a family he comes from. He comes from the family of Umar radiallahu anhu's wife. Umar radiallahu anhu's daughter, Hafsa radiallahu anha, who is Ummul Mu'mineen, the wife, the blessed wife and consort of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hafsa, Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha. Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu is Hafsa radiallahu anha's maternal uncle, Khal in the Arabic language, Khal. So Uthman radiallahu anhu's is Hafsa radiallahu anha's khal. And Uthman radiallahu anhu was married to Umar radiallahu anhu's sister, Safiya bintul Khattab, one of the muhajirat, those who strove and made hijrah in the early stages of Islam, who made great sacrifices. Uthman radiallahu anhu had few brothers. He was Uthman, his brother was Qudama, his other brother was Amr, and the other was Abdullah bin Mad'un. These were the children of Mad'un radiallahu anhum. Uthman radiallahu anhu's son was As-Sa'ib. What a beautiful name. As-Sa'ib ibn Uthman. Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu's son. And Sa'ib's mother was Khawla binti Hakim in As-Sulamiyya radiallahu anha. Uthman radiallahu anhu's son was a very, very famous archer. When the Sahaba made Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made brotherhood between Sa'ib, Uthman radiallahu anhu's son, and the famous Sahabi, Haritha bin Suraqa, the Sahabi who passed away in Badr, and his mother was crying, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, "Why do you cry?" when Haritha received the highest levels of Firdaus. So Uthman radiallahu anhu's son's name was As-Sa'ib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. When did Uthman radiyallahu anhu embrace Islam? He embraced Islam in the early stages. Aslama Uthman ibn Mad'un ba'da 13 rajulan. documented in history, he accepted Islam after 13 individuals. So he was the 14th person to embrace Islam. Allahu Akbar. And who gave him da'wah to Allah, who invited him? None other than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Uthman bin Mal'un was close to Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. Like Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, never consumed alcohol, even in the days of Jahiliyyah. Allah blessed him and protected him during those environments and trying times, in spite of the environment being against them and everyone being involved in it. Uthman bin Mal'un was also one of those. He was very intelligent. And even in those days, he would refuse to submit and surrender and worship idols. He disliked idols and the practices of Jahiliyyah. And he deemed alcohol prohibited for himself. And when offered, he would say, إِنِّي لَا أَشْرَبُ شَيْئًا يُذْهِبُ عَقْلِي وَيُضْحِكُ بِي مَنْ دُونِي وَيَحْمِلُنِي عَلَىٰ أَنْ أُنْكِحَ كَرِيمَتِي مَنْ لَا أُرِيدُ. He says, how can I drink a sip of something that will make me insane, that will destroy and diminish my intellect? How can I do such a thing? And then it will make people who are my juniors laugh at me. It will make those under me laugh at me and take me as a laughing stock. And it will make me make decisions in life that are inappropriate and unsuitable. Like give my daughter in marriage to someone unsuitable, or get my sister married to someone inappropriate. This was the beautiful statement of Uthman bin Mad'un, even about his Jahiliyyah times. This was the purity of this individual. Anyway, he embraced Islam in the early stages. There's an amazing report where he says, when I first embraced Islam, my faith was weak. مَا أَسْلَمْتُ ابْتِدَاءً إِلَّا حَيَاءً مِّن رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وسلم. I was in Rasulullah's company, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and out of shyness I embraced. But then I spent time in his company, and then Iman became firm in me. Allama Wahidi rahimahullah, in his book regarding Asbabun Nuzul, quotes a report that Uthman radiallahu anhu says, I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah Mukarrama. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there, so I sat with him. Called me and I sat with him. And whilst we were discussing something, and then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's attention went away. The sky, and I realized something peculiar was happening. And then after some time, he looked back at me and paid attention to me like previously. So as I was sitting there, I said to him, O Nabi of Allah, what happened while you were sitting here? So he said to me, did you see? So I said, yes. Did you realize what was happening? Uthman radiallahu anhu says, I did notice something. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me whilst you here. And this is what he brought, the verse of the Quran. After أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. How beautiful is Quran. This one verse of the Quran made Iman permeate in my heart. It struck me and I fell in love with Islam. وَأَحْبَبْتُ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And I fell in love with Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is the power of the company of Janabi Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. From there we learn the importance of company. How sometimes we are doubtful regarding certain things, regarding our faith. Go to the correct company. Go where we're supposed to go and abstain from where we're not supposed to be. Allah will guide us. Allah will take us from strength to strength. May Allah give us tawfiq. This verse of the Quran Kareem was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Uthman radiallahu anhu was in his company, and this strengthened his iman so greatly. He says, فَقَرَأْتُهَا عَلَى الْوَلِيدِ بْنِ الْمُغِيرَةِ فَقَالَ يَبْنَ أَخِي أَعِدْ فَأَعَدْتُهُ. What does he do? His iman was strengthened. What is the blessing of strengthening one's iman? He says, I went to meet Walid bin Mughira. Now who was Walid bin Mughira? Khalid radiallahu anhu, the great Sahabi. Walid was his father. And he was one of the most tyrannical people of Makkah.
He was against Islam. Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu says, I went to Walid bin Mughira and I recited this verse of the Quran to him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. He says to me, nephew, a'id. Nephew, out of that compassion amongst Arabs. He would say, repeat it for me. I read it again. I repeated it for him. He says, these words are marvelous. Wallahi inna lahu la halawa wa inna alayhi la talawa. These words are so sweet. They are filled with ripeness, with freshness. It is full of fruit. These words that you recited are fruit bearing, and definitely no human can ever say such a thing. Let's take a lesson from here. Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu learned something. He immediately goes to the others and shares it. This is the beauty of our deen. Whatever we learn, we have to share. Like my padre rahmatullahi would very beautifully say, learn deen, practice deen, propagate deen, and make others do the same. Meaning make them learn, practice and propagate. Allah give us tawfiq. So now, Uthman radiallahu anhu was amongst the Muslims. Then they would learn deen Arqam radiallahu anhu's house, because that was the markaz and the madrasa. And he would frequent that the madrasa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and learn the deen of Allah ta'ala. Then a time came where Muslims were going through a lot of difficulty, torture, atrocities, mockery. But Uthman bin Mad'un would go and come unharmed. So he would see how Muslims would go through difficulty. But he couldn't bear it that everyone is suffering and sacrificing for Allah, and nothing, no harm is coming his way. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. We always want the easy way out, you know. We always say, no, we don't want any difficulty. We want the easy, you know, way out. But Sahaba radiallahu anhum couldn't bear it that others sacrifice and they go without doing anything. Or they go through very, very easily. Their mizaj was different. Their temperament was different. Their fiber was pure and different. Allah give us sincerity and forgive us for our shortcomings and for us searching for loopholes. He would say to himself, Wallah, inna ghuduwi wa rawahi aminan bi jiwari rajulin min ahli shirki wa ashabi wa ahlu dini yalqawna min al-adha wal-bala ma la yusibuni lanaqsun kabirun fi nafsi. He says, how can it be? I come, I go without any harm. Nobody attacking me. Nobody insulting me. Nobody causing troubles to me. But then I'm not sacrificing for my deen. This is incorrect. So Uthman then goes to Walid bin Mughira. Walid bin Mughira was the senior, as we said. And the senior mushrikeen of Makkah, the Quraysh were the leaders. They could give, so to say, for our understanding, something very similar to visa and protection. They could give protection to any person they wanted to. So if they gave protection to someone, nobody could harm that individual. So Walid bin Mughira had given protection to Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu. So Uthman radiallahu anhu goes to Walid bin Mughira and he says, oh Abu Abdi Shams, you have fulfilled and you are very, very loyal to this protection that you gave me. I return it to you. I don't want your visa anymore. I want my Allah's protection. It's not fair that all my Muslims are suffering and you're not protecting them, and they must go through it and I mustn't go through it. No, leave me to Allah. وَلَكِنِّي أَرْضَى بِجِوَارِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Walid insists, but why? Why, son? Why are you doing this? Walid actually had so much of respect for Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu. Allah give us tawfiq, respected listeners. Sometimes we have some relationship with some senior person. We should make our relationship with that person come to deen. Bring that person to deen. Allah forgive us. We just keep that person close because we think that person is going to bail us out when we're suffering some difficulty. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Allah gave you that contact to bring him to deen, to connect one person to deen, not to be just used for the dunya. It's to bring one person to Allah's deen. Why do you reject my protection? He says, it's not that I reject it, but everyone else must suffer from my Muslim brothers, and I see it, it's not fair. Allah will protect all of us. Arda bi jawarillah. I cannot seek protection from anybody but Allah. This was the level of his iman. Anyway, Walid then says, okay, because I gave you this protection openly, nobody could touch you. You're returning it to me? Return it to me openly in front of the Kaaba as well. So they both go to the Kaaba, and Walid announces that, you know, openly, Uthman bin Mad'un returns my protection. He gives it back to me, and so forth. What then happens? Uthman radiallahu anhu now doesn't have any visa or protection, and now he's around the Kaaba, and he sees one gathering taking place. And there was a famous poet at that time who was Labid. And this Labid wasn't yet a Muslim. So he was a poet, and he was rendering these verses of poetry amongst the seniors of the Quraysh, and in which he said, Ala kullu shay'in ma khalallaha batilu. Beautiful statement. Ala kullu shay'in ma khalallaha batilu. Behold, hearken, everything besides Allah is batil. Everything besides the Almighty is false. So Uthman radiallahu anhu commented, because he was a senior. But it's just that he's continuing his life as he was always. But it's just that he didn't have Walid's protection. So Labid then continues and says, وَكُلُّ نَعِيمٍ لَا مَحَالَ تَزَائِلُ وَكُلُّ نَعِيمٍ لَا مَحَالَ تَزَائِلُ. And definitely, every pleasure has to come to an end. So Uthman radiallahu anhu comments and says, but I must remind you all day that the pleasures of Jannat will never come to an end. But yes, worldly pleasures would. Now Labid gets irritated. Now because he is on the stage, so to say, and now he felt that, why is my words not being respected here? And Uthman just commenting like this. The people in the gathering goes there and boxes Uthman ibn Mad'un radiallahu anhu in his eye. And his eye became badly hurt. Turned blue and it was damaged. He sees the entire scene. But he couldn't say anything because Uthman was not in his protection anymore. So he goes to Uthman. And he says, my nephew, you didn't need to go through all of this. إِن كَانَتْ عَيْنُكَ عَمَّا أَصَابَهَا لَغَنِيَ. You really didn't need it. Now your eyes suffered and so forth. You were in my protection. No one could touch you. No one could raise his hands against you. No one could raise his voice against you. Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu, with the firm iman, with the honor of a Muslim, he says, بَلَا وَاللَّهِ إِنَّ عَيْنِيَ الصَّحِيحَةِ لَفَقِيرَةٌ إِلَى مِثْلِ مَا أَصَابَ أُخْتَهَا فِي اللَّهِ وَإِنِّي لَفِي جِوَارِ مَنْ هُوَ أَعَزُّ مِنْكَ وَأَقْدَرُ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ الشَّمْسِ. He says, respected uncle, I must tell you that my eye that didn't go through anything for Allah is poor, is lacking, is lesser in value in comparison to its partner who sacrificed for Allah. Meaning, this eye that went through difficulty in Allah's name, in Allah's cause, is valuable. More of value, because it sacrificed for Allah. And the other eye that didn't go through it is of lesser value, because it didn't sacrifice that much for Allah. And oh Abu Abdi Shams, I am in the protection of that being who owns everything, who has the power of everything. So don't worry, oh Abu Abdi Shams. Walid says, come my nephew, let me give you my protection back. Uthman radiallahu anhu says, no, I really don't need it. I'm happy with my Allah's protection. I'm happy with my Allah's protection. Yeah, Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And radiallahu anhu puts these words in such beautiful renditions. He says, فَإِنْ تَكُ عَيْنِي فِي رِضَ رَبِّنَا لَهَا يَدَى مُلْحِدٍ فِي الدِّينِ لَيْسَ بِمُهْتَدِي فَقَدْ عُوَضَ الرَّحْمَنُ مِنْهَا ثَوَابَهُ وَمَنْ يُرْضِهِ الرَّحْمَنُ يَا قَوْمُ يَسْعَدِي فَإِنِّي وَإِنْ قُلْتُمْ غَوِيٌّ مُضَلَّلٌ سَفِيهٌ عَلَى دِينِ الرَّسُولِ مُحَمَّدِي أُرِيدُ بِذَاكَ اللَّهَ وَالْحَقَّ دِينَنَا أُرِيدُ بِذَاكَ اللَّهَ وَالْحَقَّ قديننا على رغم من يبغي علينا ويعتدي. He says, if my eye was afflicted in the cause of my Allah's pleasure, and someone struck it who was away from deen and lost, that I went for Allah. Allah replaces it with much more from His side, ثوابه. And he who Allah is happy with, he who is in the search for his Allah's pleasure, his most merciful, his Rahman, Allah's pleasure. Oh my people, such a person is successful. Such a person is successful. He says, in spite of what you say, you might say I'm a fool, you might say I'm lost, I will still follow my Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You might say I'm astray, I will live and die on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's way, because I want my Allah's pleasure. And our deen is true, in spite of those who transgress against us. What words I wish one could understand it in the Arabic language, because really I can do no justice to it. Sahaba radiallahu anhu also felt it when Uthman radiallahu anhu was afflicted in such a way. There's beautiful words of Ali radiallahu anhu also, wherein he mentions Uthman radiallahu anhu in similar words of poetry also, which is very, very beautiful. Radiallahu anhu renders, إن تذكر دهر غير مأموني أصبحت مكتئبا تبكيك محزوني أم إن تذكر أقوام ذوي سفه يغشون بالظلم من يدعو إلى الدين لا ينتهون عن الفحشاء ما سلموا والغدر فيهم سبيل غير مأموني ألا ترون أقل الله خيرهم أنا غضبنا لعثمان بن مضعون إذ يلطمون ولا يخشون مقلته طعنا دراكا وضربا غير مأفون فسوف يجزيهم إن لم يمت عجلا كيلا بكيل جزاء غير مغبون. This is in the Hayat al-Sahaba of Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullahi, where he quotes the beautiful words of Ali radiallahu anhu. I just don't have the time to explain it. Uthman radiallahu anhu went through so much, where time came where himself, his son As-Sa'ib radiallahu anhu, and his brothers Qudama and Abdullah from the Banu Jumah tribe, they had to leave Makkah. And who put a lot of pressure and punishment upon them was Umayyah bin Khalaf Jumahi, the famous torturer of the Muslims, Umayyah ibn Khalaf. That's why Uthman radiallahu anhu would mention how Umayyah used to hurt them and harm them. And Uthman radiallahu anhu would invite, and he then rebuked Umayyah that how could you do such a thing? أخرجتني من بطن مكة آمنا وأسكنتني في صرح بيضاء تقلع. Beautiful words where he mentions. And then Uthman radiallahu anhu and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they migrate to Habasha. But they were yearning for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But so very shortly after that, they did come back to Makkah Mukarrama to be near Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when they came also, they were not allowed to come in, but alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala helped them. And then some men, Walid bin Mughira, that gave him the protection. Exactly when Walid bin Mughira gave him the protection, either it was the first time that it seemed so, or it could have been this time, and then he gave it back. Allah Ta'ala knows best. But he made great sacrifices for Allah's pleasure. Then came the time of Hijrah, the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu's family was one of those families that made hijrah in Allah's path, as we say, lock, stock and barrel. In Arabic, the words are so beautiful. وَكَانَ آلُ مَذْعُونَ مِمَّنْ أَوْعَبَ فِي الْخُرُوجِ أَوْعَبَ فِي الْخُرُوجِ. This word, أَوْعَبَ, استيعاب, lock, stock and barrel. They made hijrah. The men and the women and the young and the old. And not one from the Mad'un family stayed in Makkah Mukarramah. They locked their homes and they strove in Allah Ta'ala's path. His niece, whose name was Aisha, whose name was Aisha, reports. He says, my entire family, Uthman radiallahu anhu, Qudama, Abdullah, the children of Mad'un, and Uthman radiallahu anhu, son Sa'ib ibn Mad'un, and Ma'mad bin Harith, when they made hijrah from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara, they were welcomed by a Sahabi in Medina by the name of Abdullah bin Salama al-Ijlani radiallahu anhu. He welcomed them and they stayed by him. And then they were very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this pact of brotherhood between the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he made something called mu'akhat. It's something that we should remember, which is so amazing. Like we see here in Makkah Mukarramah, so many brothers from different countries, from every country, people are found. And Allahu Akbar. So beautifully the poet says, Ya akhi fil mashriqi aw fil maghribi, anta akhi anta minni anta bi, la tasal an unsuri aw nasabi, innahu al-islamu ummi wa abi. Oh my brother, whether you in the east or whether you in the west, Whether you're in the east or whether you're in the west, you are a Muslim. You are my brother. You are from me and I am from you. You are with me and I am with you. You in the other side of the earth, but I am thinking of you and making dua for you, and so are you for me. Then he says, لَا تَسَلْ أَنْ عُنْصُرِي أَوْ نَاسَبِي. Don't insist on this, that my lineage is such, and my family is such, and my color is such, and my race is such. My mother and father, my lineage and my everything is Islam. إِنَّهُ الْإِسْلَامُ أُمِّي وَأَبِي. So Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, started this establishment called Mu'akhat. And this brotherhood took place between one Muhajiri, one Ansari, one Muhajiri, one Ansari. This was one of the first efforts in Medina Munawwara. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established masjid and established iman through this brotherhood, that a Muslim is a brother with love and compassion and understanding and care. And who were made brothers? Uthman bin Mad'un on the one side from the Muhajireen, and Abul Haytham ibn Tayyihan. What a name! Abul Haytham ibn Tayyihan radiallahu anhu from the Ansar. What a sahabi he was. He also denounced shirk from the early stages. He stayed away from falsehood from the early stages. From the sahaba of Medina Munawwara, among the first to embrace Islam was Abul Haytham ibn Tayyihan and As'ad bin Zurara. These two sahaba came to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Hajj. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah we'll be discussing some of the sahaba who embraced Islam on the Hajj. Allah give us tawfiq. See how Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make effort on the Hajj. Allah give us tawfiq. But these two were the first to embrace Islam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made effort on them. See As'ad bin Zurara and Abu Haytham ibn Tayyihan. And this brotherhood pact was made between these two sahaba radiyallahu anhum, Uthman ibn Mad'un and Abu Haytham ibn Tayyihan radiyallahu anhum. Amazingly, Uthman radiyallahu anhu would strive and endeavor to spend all his time in ibadah to such an extent that he actually wanted to castrate, and he wanted to roam and travel the lands. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him and said, Alaysa laka fiyya uswatun hasana, O Uthman, isn't your Nabi the perfect sample and example for you? O Uthman, see, I go to my wives, I also eat meat sometimes, I fast some days, I don't fast on other days. The castration of my ummah is as-siyam. The one who castrates and thinks that is a solution is not part of my ummah. This was the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a teaching of moderation. Anyway, there's quite a few incidents in this regard, in regards to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There's one famous incident that Uthman radiallahu anhu comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is mentioned in Tabaqat ibn Sa'ad. He comes to the Messenger of Allah and says, O Nabi of Allah, I don't like it that my wife ever see, you know, my private areas of my body. You know, I do not want to, you know, expose myself in front of my wife. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, why? He says, O Nabi of Allah, I'm too shy and I dislike that. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him that Allah made your wife your covering and garment, and Allah made you her covering and garment. Inna Allah ja'alaha laka libasan wa ja'alaka laha libasan. Allah Ta'ala made you her clothing and she your clothing. And Allah give us tawfiq. This is what a beautiful teaching of Islam, that a husband and wife are clothing for each other. They are for each other. A person feels so comfortable in clothing. A person should feel comfortable with his wife and vice versa. A person shouldn't want to be away from his partner. Allah give us tawfiq. This is the teaching of our deen. And also another lesson. The one covers the faults of the other. Like we have a garment. The garment you have, certain scars on your body cannot be seen through that garment, and vice versa. So husband and wife are like that for each other. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him so beautifully the teaching of Islam. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person must be able to be with his wife in private and so forth. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him. So he said, O Nabi of Allah, if this is your teaching, then definitely it is the most beautiful teaching. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that إِنَّ ابْنَ مَدْعُونٍ لَحَيِّيٌ سِتِّيرٌ. Ibn Mad'un radiallahu anhu is very, very bashful, and he has the beautiful quality of modesty. In one report of Ibn Sa'ad, Abu Ishaq Sabi'i narrates from Abu Burda radiallahu anhu.
He says, one day the wife of Uthman ibn Mad'un radiallahu anhu came to visit the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they found her to be in a very, very difficult, pitiable state, in this way that she was shabby and she was unapproachable, in this way that she wasn't, you know, she was quite shabby. So they said to her, what's the matter? You know, you have a husband, shouldn't you be approachable, you know, for him and be beautifying yourself, you know, dressing correctly and so forth. She said that my husband is not interested in anything at all. His night, أَمَّا لَيْلُهُ فَقَائِمُ وَأَمَّا نَهَارُهُ فَصَائِمُ. His night is standing before Allah all night. He stands before Allah all night long, and his day is fasting for Allah's pleasure all day long. So the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Uthman ibn Mad'un and said, أَمَا لَكَ بِي أُسْوَةٌ أَوْ Uthman. Follow your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your Nabi is the perfect example for you. Allahu Akbar. What an example is Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of life. This is a verse of Quran in Surah Ahzab. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. There's 7 emphasis in this verse where Allah is saying, follow my Nabi. His way, his style, his lifestyle is perfect for you. In the home, out of the home, in the masjid, outside the masjid, in your business, wherever you are, on journey, at home, with regards to your children, in treatment of your servants, in every aspect of your life, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the perfect example, uswatun hasana. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this to him. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that definitely your eyes have rights upon you. Your body has a right upon you. Your wife has a right upon you. Your family members have rights upon you. O Uthman, fulfill the right of each one. Give time for salah. Give time for your rest. Fast on occasions. Eat and leave the fast on certain occasions. The nafil fast. And then not long after that, when Uthman radiallahu anhu's wife came to visit the wives of the of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, she came so beautiful. She was so, you know, she was so different, كأنها عروس, as though she was a bride, and she was very, very happy. This is how Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam solved issues for the Ummah. Wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw to it that the problems of the woman of the Ummah were solved. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed and taught Uthman radiallahu anhu that there's no monasticism and a monastery kind of lifestyle. There's the perfect sunnah in the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Uthman radiallahu anhu strove in Allah Ta'ala's way. He strove in the path of Allah Ta'ala. In the battle of Badr, he participated, he rushed and hastened to participate in the expedition of Badr. Passed away after the battle of Badr, the Muslims returned to Medina Munawwara. Uthman radiallahu anhu was ill after the expedition, and he passed away in Medina Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha says, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed Uthman ibn Mad'un after he had passed away, and tears were flowing from his eyes over Uthman ibn Mad'un radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed janazah salah for him and made 4 takbirs in his janazah. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then chose Al-Baqi' as a graveyard for the Ummah, for the Muslims. And he himself chose it. And then he took Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu, and he was the first Sahabi to be buried there. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umirtu bihadha al-mawdi'. This was just next to Medina, Munawwara. Allah's Nabi said, I have been instructed to be buried, instructed to bury the Ummah, bury the Muslims here. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put one stone by the headside of Uthman radiallahu anhu's grave. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hada faratuna. He is our forerunner. He goes ahead for us. And whenever anyone would pass away, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, bury him. Sahaba would ask where. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, where Uthman ibn Mad'un is, bury him next to Uthman ibn Mad'un radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There's so much in regards to the life of Uthman ibn Mad'un radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Time to discuss all of it. A woman sees Uthman ibn Mad'un radiallahu anhu in a dream, and she sees a huge stream for him flowing in the Akhirah. So she says, I come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mentioned this to him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ذَاكَ عَمَلُهُ يَجْرِي لَهُ. That is the deeds of Uthman radiallahu anhu. That is flowing for him. His good deeds are continuing. That was meant by that river that was seen. Who was this in the riwayat of Bukhari? Who was this person who saw this? It was his wife, according to preferred views. Ummu al-Ala al-Ansariya. Or it was Ummu Kharija ibn Zayd. Or it was his wife, Umm Sa'ib radiallahu anha, who saw this dream in regards to Uthman radiallahu anhu. And there's an amazing report of how his wife was conscious of Allah when he passed away, and she mourned him, but in the confines of Sharia. The words are so beautiful, there's no time to share it with you and translate it for you. But she says, Ya aynu judi bidam'in ghayr mamnuni ala raziyati Uthman ibn Maz'uni ala mri'in bata fi ridwani khaliqihi tuba lahu min faqidi shakhs madfuni طاب البقيع له سكنا وغرقده وأشرقات أرضه من بعد تفتيني وأورث القلب حزنا لانقطاع له حتى الممات فما ترقى له شوني.
You know, she says, what a man he was who spent his night and day in Allah's pleasure. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to please him and emulate the beautiful teachings of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah give us tawfiq to appreciate them. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّي بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.